Welcome in, everybody. This is the podcast called PMAX War Room, presented by Chiefs Focus. And my name is you. I got PMAX on the other side. And we are here to discuss off-season strategies and things that we think should happen based on the information that is given to us. And so we're just going to see what we can either predict or what we think we would do in this offseason to move this team to another championship. Now, shout out to PMAX. How you doing, man?
I'm very good, man. I want to just say everybody thank you. And like this says, welcome to PMAX War Room, or how you guys will ever want to say it, the War Room with PMAX, presented by Chiefs Focus. I like you guys to meet my guy Thiz, who's also going to be my co-host. Sometimes he might be on, sometimes he might not. But, you know, we're doing what we got to do, man, to, you know, get the content out there for you guys. And I'm very excited to share this insight and this content about the Chiefs news and the offseason stuff, whether it's free agency or the draft, to you guys during this offseason. So I'm glad to be on, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. No problem. Let's get into it. So this season has been a crazy one. It's been ups and downs, but we, at this point, we find ourselves in the Super Bowl. Oh. And it's a rematch, the rematch of the Super Bowl from 2019 prior to the pandemic. So, first, let's talk about that, man. Let's talk about how unlikely it has been for the Chiefs to be where they currently are. What were your thoughts when the clock hit zero yesterday and we find ourselves in the Super Bowl?
Man, I was just not surprised. Just like going into the game, going into the bank, I was not surprised, because I was saying it before, especially on the show earlier and some of our shows here on Chiefs Focus, the Chiefs Live, Chiefs First and 10 show, or even your show, which is this, that is going to be about Mahomes' experience, 6 AFC championship game appearances versus Lamar's first ever one. And it's Baltimore's first in their city's history up to that point before yesterday. And it was similar to what it was like for Mahomes the first time when we had the first AFC championship hosted at Arrowhead when Brady came into town. And I just felt confident that we was going to go in and come out going back to the Super Bowl. But it just feels great because people are witnessing greatness. Even I said in that, it was that game in 2018, Mahomes' first year. And by the way, folks, I used to work for the Kansas City Chiefs from 2018 to 2023 from July. My last event was the Taylor Swift concert event. I was working as a season ticket holder. GSR, which is like an usher. Worked at the Fans First booth, excuse me, and, you know, worked those years there. But it was 2018. In my first year there, which was also Mahomes' first year starting. And it was that 4th-and-9 play when he threw that pass where his legs were up in the air and Tyreek Hill caught it, when I said that's the Michael Jordan of the NFL. And now everybody is starting to see what I saw in 2018 is just amazing. And I'm happy to be on this ride, man, especially working with them and now working with Chiefs Focus as a member of the NFL media. So it's great, man.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, let me say, there were doubts, no doubt for me. There were doubts of this season. But if there was anybody I knew that could pull us out of that rut, it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yes.
That's my thing. And so, you want to talk about the first time I knew? I had confidence when they drafted him that he was going to be a good quarterback, period, because there are no bad quarterbacks with Andy Reid. If Andy Reid chooses you are a good quarterback, period. The question is, can we pull everything out of you? Can you apply yourself? And I thought I had my thoughts about Patrick Mahomes. I thought he could, but I didn't know for sure. The first time I knew was that preseason game in August. I was at the game. And it was like a long bomb to, I can't even remember who, but I was sitting up in the stands. I was like, I stood up before he even let the ball go. And it was a long bomb. It was like a 50 yard, 40 yard, 60 yard play, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, this is the guy. This is the guy. And D-Rod. I remember.
It was D-Rod.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It probably was D-Rod because the starters weren't, he wasn't a starter and they weren't playing starters at the time.
Yeah.
But, so I remember that play. I remember the over top and I was with my wife and her coworkers. And I just stopped everything and they were talking and they thought I was crazy, but I saw it coming and I was like, yep, this is the guy. This is the guy. And it confirmed all my thoughts. I thought we would win a Super Bowl and I was going to be satisfied because, hey, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl. But now we see ourselves in the fourth out of five chances that we've had to go to the Super Bowl. And Patrick Mahomes is that dude. Andy Reid is even more that dude, and I'm glad that we're getting to experience this because it won't get much better than this. I'm going to tell you that right now. It won't get much better than this. The Steelers, they got six rings, but they've been those six rings are so spread apart that they might as well be, Infinity Stones. They've been so spread apart. So, with that being said, I think we should move on to our next segment. The next segment that we got is the show's called, today's show is called Know When to Hold 'Em and Fold 'Em. And so I gave a challenge to P-Mac. I gave him a challenge to give me four to five guys that we should keep, re-sign, with their contracts are expiring, and then four to five guys that we should sign and four to five guys that we should let go, allowed to hit free agency. And so let's see what Philip would do, P-Mac would do in his war room with that challenge. So with that, I'm going to have you take it away.
All right. Thank you, good sir. Well, overall, 43 players will be under contract going into 2024, but there are 25 that will hit the market, 19 unrestricted free agents, 3 restricted free agents, and 3 exclusive rights free agents. And, you know, Brent Veach needs to create the framework for Mahomes with a reliable offensive system for the next few years as that Super Bowl window remains open, and then also try to keep this same defense that you had this past year, who has finished top 3 regular season and now showing the league that they probably are the best defense in the league with the best quarterback on the opposite side. And it's amazing. So with that being said, I'm going to talk about, these are the guys that I feel like you got to let these guys test the market or just let them walk. And let's start with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And he is going to be a pre-June 1st cut, in my opinion. Yes, this man has done well in the postseason. That's what he's supposed to do. But MVS has really struggled to provide the impact that the Chiefs had hoped for in the wide receiver room, showing why Green Bay was willing to part ways with him in 2022, before the season we got him last season. MVS couldn't find a rhythm with Mahomes, of all people, at any point of this season. With 21 receptions on 42 targets, 315 yards, and 1 touchdown, all signify career low outputs. So, when regardless of that, despite the showing of the life in the postseason, Brett Veach will still try to look for a veteran presence to replace MVS, who may be a salary cap casualty. And the Chiefs will save $12 million in cap space if they release MVS. And the Chiefs have the physical presence of Rashee Rice and the speed of Kadarius Toney, who I'm banking on being a breakout star because he's going to a contract year. But they need somebody with speed, like what you have from Tyreek or Mecole Hardman or even DeSean Jackson, like an Andy Reid receiver, who can win against press coverage and while understanding how to manipulate the voids in zone coverage. So that's one of the reasons why I'm voting.
Yeah. With MVS, yes, he's never lived up to the contract, and you're perfectly right on that, and I don't disagree with you on that. I know there's going to be something I disagree with coming up, but we'll see. But Marquez, I do not disagree with. Let's move on to number 2.
All right, number 2, and I like this guy, but to me, this is more of he's going to be a compensatory pick for 2025 type of deal, and that's Michael Dana. Yeah, man, Michael Dana. Michael Dana will probably get a chance to test the market. He is a solid rotational pass rushing piece who is a big part of helping his team reach the Super Bowl 2020, 2022, and now this year, three times now, man. However, Dana has been inconsistent after breaking his career high with 6.5 sacks since week 13. Since week 13, he hasn't, you know, done anything with getting sacks. Amani Hugh, who we have lost for this season now, you know, now, because now this brings in a big deal of it now. They could use more bodies on the edge, especially with the interior coming up this offseason. But the key will be the development of youngsters, Felix Anudike Uzomah, the Chiefs' first-round pick from this past year, who could be a factor moving into 2024 and maybe this coming Super Bowl here, and the 2023 fifth-rounder, B.J. Thompson. Now, depending on Amani Hugh back late into the season, or if they go after a veteran in free agency on a low cheap deal, or a draft a guy between round like two to like the last round, you know, one of those guys and even George Karloftis could kick inside on passing downs, adding to the options here. The team could get a 2025 fourth round or maybe sixth round pick in return due to Dana's potential departure in free agency.
I'm with you on the idea of letting Mike Dana walk. And part of me is good with the idea of all those things you said with, Amani Hugh's injury, with FAU, Felix Anudike Uzomah, with his development. But all of that is, what's the best word to say? Speculation. FAU hasn't been, as a first round pick, FAU, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to speculate. But FAU hasn't seen the field for real, in significant, snaps since he was drafted. And that's the problem I have. I have all the reason to trust in Brett Veach. I have all the reason to trust in the coaching staff, as far as the defensive line coach, who is, his name escapes me. You know, man.
My God, Joe yes. Cullen, man.
Joe Cullen, man. You gave me the man, hit on him, and I said, look.
I trust that, Joe Cullen to develop those guys. He can Matthew Judon, he can develop Darius Smith and Brandon Williams and those guys, and they left and they found big contracts that gave compensatory picks in return to the Baltimore Ravens. And that's the team that I feel like Brett Veach is trying to emulate in some moments, even like with the Seahawks, with not only their draft formula, but getting undrafted free agent picks after the draft. And also the Patriots with Bill Belichick's formula. It's like also that mixed with the mindset of Billy Beane and the Oakland A's baseball team. And I actually like the way he has approached the game of baseball with getting those guys, you know?
Wow. With Joe Cullen, I can understand your thought process there.
Right.
But I do worry at this point about exactly, where this pass rush is coming from, but we still got free agency. You know, we still got to talk about that, and that's of course on the way. But anyway, let's switch on to number three.
All right. Number three. And man, I try to give this guy a chance, man. We've been talking about him. And he was coming on late in December, but here he is, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man. I'm sorry, Clyde, but Clyde proves that he's a good running back if he's able to return to that 2020 version of himself. And he's been a steady presence in the community and the things he's done off the field. On the field, CEH has been inconsistent the past three seasons, which has led some to wonder if he's lost his fire at times. He's had
a – I do see exactly what you're saying there, where – it looks like he has lost his fire. He's versatile, but we haven't seen a lot of them. We haven't seen the coaching staff trusting his versatility very much because he hasn't done the greatest with the little that he has. But continue. I apologize.
Right. You're good, man. And that's the thing about that, too, like when you say that, too. And that's what it comes down to, because he had a chance yesterday. But one carry for like 2-3 yards, it's like, dang, man, you had the chance, but Pacheco took over. But that still would lead me to say, despite that, he still showed some good moments in December. But that last game of the year against the Chargers, he had the chance to really showcase it. But the Michael Pittman outplayed him. But he still has a good chance to come back as a solid third running back option to complement Isaiah Pacheco, but the team could also upgrade at that spot.
Yeah. So let's move on to number four.
All right. Blaine Gabbert, I'm sorry, man, but, you know, he's been a big
Hold on. You trying to cut my MIZ guy?
Bro, come on, man. We've been talking about this. Hey, it has nothing to do with it. By the way, y'all, I'm a KU alumnus. It has nothing to do with none of that. It's just that, come on, we all been saying the same thing, man. Blaine Gabbert, he's been a big asset backing up Tom Brady and Mahomes over the last four seasons, you know, consecutive years winning division titles and now backing them up in the Super Bowl. But the team could be looking for a new backup quarterback capable of helping the Chiefs win a couple of games and also pushing or developing under Mahomes. The last draft, when I made an article about Stetson Bennett from Georgia when he helped win their consecutive national championship, I said the Chiefs should consider investing in a backup quarterback through the draft. Instead of spending $5 million or more on the open market, that's why it's very having a viable backup on a rookie contract was and is incredibly important when the annual cost of retaining a franchise quarterback has risen enormously. Given the state of the depth chart, the team shouldn't feel rushed to grab a quarterback early. But, you know, you should look at the near at the back end of the draft and in college free agency to select and develop a backup quality quarterback that is durable and has the intelligence to operate within Andy Reid's system.
That I can understand. Instead of spending the money to go get a capable free agent, we know Andy Reid is a quarterback wizard. He is the quarterback whisperer.
Yes.
And he can, if he can find somebody with a similar, talent arc as Mahomes with the arm angle, not necessarily arm angle because I don't want to Patrick Mahomes clone, but somebody who has the arm strength at the very least to push the ball downfield. Yes, I do agree with you on that. So let's move on to the last one.
All right, man. And before we move on to the last one, I wanted to say this. I want a Brock Purdy with bigger hands as my backup. That's what I'm looking for to back up Mahomes.
I'll let you have that one because I'm not a huge Brock Purdy fan, but we keep it moving. Right. Number five.
All right, Tashaun Wharton, man. And yes, he made one of the big important sacks from yesterday, but still, man.
He did. And we know pass rush does command a significance on the free agent market. So somebody's going to pay a premium for that. Something that we probably aren't going to be able or willing to pay.
Exactly. So it remains to be seen if the Chiefs bring back defensive tackles Chris Jones and Derek Nnadi and Tashaun Wharton, who's also a free agent there, man. So he just provides minimal impact as a pass rusher. Wharton showed promise as a rookie. That rookie year was his best season still today.
Yes, it was.
But he has never been able to duplicate that success since then, man. And Wharton likes that ability to be an every down interior lineman while providing minimal push along the line on the interior. And that's what I saw yesterday at the beginning, but he finally turned it up at the right time. And he's been exploited, and teams have exploited that at him at times, running at his side. So I think it's time to find a significant upgrade in terms of depth.
I definitely understand the mindset there, and I don't disagree. So with that being said, let's move on to Holdem. Let's move on. So we're moving on from these guys. These are the guys that we are moving on from. Yes. Let's go to the guys that we should make an effort to keep. What's your first one?
Man, Lajarius punched the ball out of Zay Flowers' arms. Sneed, baby. Mr. Rob from a Pro Bowl, Lajarius Sneed. He will be one of the top three corners in a good cornerback market, and I think he's going to command less than $20 million a year, man. And the Chiefs would consider placing a franchise tag on him and buying time to negotiate a long-term deal. But I think the Chiefs will find a way to keep their all-pro level defensive back who has been a big part of the defensive success, going to four straight AFC championship games, three Super Bowl appearances. Shamari Connor was originally viewed as the in-house replacement for Snead for 2024 and beyond, and making an extension all the more unlikely. But Snead may have also bucked that trend after just being burned for on just 42 of 81 targets per Pro Football Focus, allowing 406 yards and just one touchdown all year in the divisional round against the Buffalo Bills, and also finishing with 10 pass deflections, two picks, with 65 tackles, which has earned him a new deal, with Connor carrying positional flexibility as a potential third safety depth slot option early in his career.
I don't disagree with you with the possible departure of some big name potential free agents. There is the idea that we would be able to facilitate a re-signing of L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed has been nothing less than sensational this year. He has stepped it up. He's from La Tech, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Louisiana
Tech. And he's been, like I said, nothing less than absolutely stupendous. And so I would be very happy to see them work out a 3-4 year deal. I don't know if he'd be willing to take 80 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar to stay, but it would be nice if he would. I think that would go a long way for keeping him, but I'm not really sure if the case is that they're going to keep him. But you think we should keep him? Let's move on to number two.
All right. And, man, I want to keep this guy so bad, man. I know it's going to probably come down to either him or the other guy I'm going to talk about, but we got to talk about Willie Gay, man. Willie Gay Jr. The Chiefs need to enhance their linebacking rotation this offseason, and Willie Gay could allow them to do just that on a one-year prove-it deal. Willie Gay is among the new breed of linebackers in today's pass-happy NFL, where the emphasis is on speed and the ability to defend the pass and the run. He played in 16 games, even though he didn't play in the game yesterday because of the neck injury, but we should expect him in the Super Bowl coming up. He's got time to get ready, but he finished with 58 tackles, one pick, one sack. Willie Gay offers the Chiefs positional versatility. He is able of dropping into coverage while also possessing the ability to rush the edge in a two-point stance or even put his hand in the dirt sometimes or rush on passing downs at the right price the last few years, unless the team wants Leo Chenault to replace his spot or bring back the underrated Drew Tranquil, who is tailor-made to play as the will linebacker for Steve Spagnuolo. He has high IQ. I'm talking about Tranquil now. Either him or Willie Gay, he has a high IQ, above average athleticism, good size to cover the interior gap, and excellent zone coverage ability. And that's what Drew Tranquil has brought for just 1 year, and Brad Veach is a genius about doing that. So we'll see how that works.
I perfectly understand your idea of wanting to keep Willie Gay. I don't think it's going to be possible under the cap with so many things that we do have to get. And if you're trying to keep L'Jarius, yeah, you probably will. But I'm sure there's going to be the big ticket potential of walking that's going to be on this list. And if he leaves, I don't see how in the world you're able to keep either Sneed or L'Jarius or Willie Gay. But if for some reason you let, and the guy that I'm referring to is Chris Jones. And if you let Chris Jones walk, you might be able to sign both Sneed and Willie. One of them is going to have to come at a discounted rate, but we'll see what happens. With that being said, let's go to the next one.
All right. And I know. All right. Here we go. Jarek the Jet McKinnon.
Oh, boy.
And I know you're going to do some pushback, but hear me out first. This, hold on, my friend. The running back's first job in the NFL is to run the football. But in today's pass-happy NFL, running backs also have to be able to be a factor into the air attack. And I think it would be wise for the Chiefs to re-sign McKinnon. But, yes, this is probably one of the concerns that probably might not happen because he's coming off of that groin injury. And we don't know how it will affect his performance as he returns. And also, he will be 32 years old in May, which is something the Chiefs will explore with hesitation because of Brett Veach's philosophy of giving the younger talent a chance to showcase their talent over older guys plus over 30. With that being said, his versatility cannot be understated. He is very effective on offense as a pass catching running back, and his leadership on special teams, which he was forced to do since 2021. The Chiefs may go another direction, but McKinnon has been a bright spot on his team since he first arrived here. Since 2022, McKinnon has scored more touchdown catches by any running back in the NFL with 13 and leading
Hold the phone.
He has the best pass catching rating when targeted of any running back, better than Christian McCaffrey, better than Austin Eckler, and I would say give him one more year, and that way the Chiefs can draft his replacement and use McKinnon's experience and his expertise to help the young guy out at the position.
Hold the phone.
Mako has 2 years left on his contract.
No, thank you. I'm going to say no, thank you. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you can find that guy in the draft. That's one thing Andy Reid has been able to do in his career is, or that's one thing he's been able to do with the help of the general manager is to find a guy that can give you everything you need. They've been able to find it at a low rate as far as the low cost rate. 5, 6, 7 round picks. You might not have all the things that you want that Jerick McKinnon gives you, but you have most of them. If you can't find a guy that'll give you pass catching ability and running ability and pass blocking ability, you should be able to get 2 out of 3, and you should be able to also develop that extra set into him. So I'm going to push back on that just because you should be able, I would hope that you could be able to find somebody in the draft, to do all those things at a lesser cost or even a UDFA.
Right. And I'm on, no, my guy Mike would definitely want me to reference this guy's name to consider too. And I know we ain't supposed to say names, but he's been pushing me. Okay, Derrick Henry, it's out there. Cause I know fans be getting me.
No, thanks.
All right, man.
I'm just going to say no thanks for that. Like, I'm not about to pay anything more. I shouldn't have to pay more than $1 million based on the way we use a running back, based on how much we have paid running backs. We shouldn't be using more than a couple $1 million to be paying for no running back. That's just me, but we keep it moving. Who's your next guy?
All right. And this is the one where now recently I put him back on the, now we got to hold on to him, especially with the recent developments, including what's going on with Mr. Aminihu and his torn ACL. He was I'd say let him test the market, but hold on to him. But now you got to hold on to him now. Chris Jones, the CEO of Sac Nation. Now you got to hold on to him. Now you could consider bringing back Dana now, because now as we brought that up about Aminihu's injury, because he also could be in the interior. But Chris, man, come on, man. Like McKinnon, I would love for the Chiefs to keep Chris Jones, but at what cost? $30 million per year? He will be 30 years old in July, and he may be into a big contract, which is something the Chiefs will also explore with hesitation as well. With that being said, he has proven to be one of the best interior defense alignment in the NFL. The fact that he has put up 26 sacks in the last 2 seasons, the 7th most of any defensive player among any pass rusher and the most of any defensive tackle since 2022. And the Chiefs may have to get creative in order to make the cap space work. And there are other targets in free agency and also the draft I would rather see the Chiefs explore. But the CEO of Sac Nation has made a name for himself among the greatest pass rushers in not only Chiefs history, but in NFL history, especially up there with Aaron Donalds and the Warren Sapps. And it would only be right if the Chiefs made him an offer that guarantees he retires a Chief. And if he doesn't return, Jones is a solid athlete, but he's not going to be a premier one that will command a significant amount of money considering his age. And plus, teams are going to be hesitant to pay over plus 30 pass rushers, especially what you saw from Von Miller this past year, who the Bills paid 6 years for $120 million when he signed at 32 years old. So that's something to consider.
And that's one of the things I do consider. I know that Life is different, man, and one of the premier positions is pass rush. One of the premier positions for any team You either get a pass rush, you get a passer and a pass rusher. And so, with those being said, Chris Jones is not your average edge. He's not your average. Okay. He can be an edge rusher at times with the presence up the middle. However, when you look at it, Von Miller is a cautionary tale. Von Miller is a cautionary tale. They brought him in to make a difference, and what he ended up doing was just being a paperweight, as it were. Taking up snaps from a guy they probably could have drafted. Just throwing it out there. Taking up snaps from a guy that they probably could have drafted and been developing. But they got desperate. The Bills got desperate to beat the Chiefs and wanted to go ahead and make a move that would potentially significantly make a difference on their defense when they already had a good defense. So they were trying to stack the deck, but it just didn't work out. And yes, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, all that stuff. But with Chris Jones being the age that he is, you're starting to look and I'm going to say this real quick. With him being the age that he is, I personally don't want to get into a Philadelphia Eagles situation. Brandon Graham, you know the other guys that I'm referring to. They had a lot of older guys on that roster that they still employ today. That Brandon Graham still wants to come back. Fletcher Cox, that's the guy I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. So you got all these guys, and plus they had young guys in the stable, right? They did have the young guys from Georgia in the stable. Okay. But we got to understand, as the age matters, and that's why Veach has this rotation in his mind, the philosophy of getting younger at the position, and that's why last year we saw them getting younger at the defensive back position. And now we could be seeing the same thing with Chris Jones. And while I would like him to stay, for $30 million, I don't know if I could really facilitate. I don't know if I think we should really facilitate that. But yeah, this is not my war room. This is PMAC's war room. So
yeah,
thank you for giving us the know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And now, as we are closing the show, last segment of the day, we got your draft board. We're going to end the show. Every show we have, it's going to be a weekly show. Mm-hmm. And every show we have, we're going to end it with an updated draft board. Now, we do our draft board with Pro Football Focus. And so as that draft board changes, PMAC's draft board will change. But sometimes I will challenge him to have a certain theme to specific drafts. Like, draft me the best defensive tackle at the 32nd spot, because we're not operating under the guise that the Chiefs will not win the Super Bowl. We're operating under the assumption and the confidence that the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. So at the 32nd pick, I might give him a challenge to draft me the best safety, draft me the best cornerback, draft the Chiefs the best such and such, and just to see how we do it, how he would go about this conversation. But today, I just asked him to do a regular old PMAC mock draft 1.0. So let's get into it. Who did you draft with your first drafting?
All right. So with the Chiefs being at 32, I think we won't stay at 32 for long. I think the Chiefs will finally make a move for none other than Oregon's Troy Franklin, wide receiver. And I think we will trade up with the Dallas Cowboys from 32 to 24. I think we would trade that 32nd pick, and also probably next year's probably third or fourth round pick, just to move up just about 7-8 spots. And this is why. Troy Franklin if you look at the Chiefs, yes, Rashee Rice and what he has done and the issues with the wide receiver room. But I feel like when you saw the success with what the receivers had done, especially with the talent, when you got with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, Justin Watson and Ross complimenting him next year, that leaves the Chiefs where they're probably going to go after some veteran guys, but also they need a pure deep threat guy that will stretch the field, that will make life easier for the other pass catchers, especially with Kelce going into next year and also Rashee Rice, who they're going to start looking at as the target next year. So he has displayed the ability to improve from season to season while at Oregon. It makes me hopeful that the same thing could happen in the NFL. Franklin's first season may be a developmental year for him, considering he's somewhat raw because he's a lanky, long strider with good speed at 6'3", 187 pounds. For a guy with a slender build, he is a physical player throughout his routes. He tracks the deep ball so well. He's among the top five best deep threats in this draft class coming up, and he'll go up and get those contested passes when he needs to. It makes me hopeful that the same could happen in the NFL when he does that. And he runs routes at all three levels. He could be a rare rookie to join the team and make an immediate impact right away. And my pro comparison of Troy Franklin last year with Rashee Rice, when I was telling people out there through Chiefs Focus in my article that I compare him to Davante Adams, my pro comparison of Franklin, Justin Jettis Jefferson from the Vikings. I really see that same stride, and they were both lanky coming into the league. And I feel like Franklin, being an outside guy that could play opposite Rashee Rice, he isn't a jitterbug type of guy that Chiefs have had before with Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman per se, but he is a high flyer that can get open and make plays down the field. And if the Chiefs have MVS playing elsewhere next season, Franklin would be a good replacement for him on the outside.
Well, that's great, man. Now, this mock draft has the Chiefs picking at like 23, I think it was. But you can't change that. You can't change that in PFF. So,
that's why.
Oh, you traded up. What did you trade? Thank you for saying that.
So, I traded up with the 32nd pick, and I used next season's third or fourth round. I had to use a third because they do the grading thing. I like a good challenge from Pro Football Focus. That's why I use their system because, by the way, folks, my cousin is Aaron Magruder, the creator of the Boondocks, last name Magruder. He always approached the Boondocks before it became a TV series on Adult Swim, that the same way I approached the Boondocks, I approach it like it's college. You want to be tested. And I think I take the same approach with Pro Football Focus with this mock draft here. I like a good challenge. Like, what's the best move the Chiefs could get? You know, is wide receiver. They say that's an important move. They could also grade you off of the best player available. And that's why I went with Franklin or Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Those were those guys. And Franklin is just a great player. He's worth it. And originally when I did it the first time, they had him at 24. So I was like, let me try to move up in that spot, see if I can get them. And they graded me with an A+. And they said it's not a bad trade. C minus.
So who did you trade with?
The Dallas Cowboys.
So you that's why I did notice that they had the Dallas Cowboys down here at 31. Okay. That's good. That's good. Well, I think that's going to end our show for today. Look forward to how much next week we'll have a different topic, and we'll challenge you with a different topic and see what you come up with. But that ends it for PMAX Discussion 101. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Is there any closing things you need to say?
Well, first off, I want to let everybody know a little bit about myself as well, too. I also have a diagnosis of autism. I feel like I'm proud to be a black man with autism, to have my own podcast, to talk about my favorite team and the ways I can try to help my team is a blessing, and I'm thankful for this. And shout out to my group back in Lawrence, Kansas, the Self-Advocate Coalition of Kansas. I'm a disability rights activist. And also, before we end the show, this thing above my head, the PSF app right there. It is an app that where you can download, and we live stream the game, and we are able to give you all the content where we give you play-by-play commentary and our thoughts as the moments are happening. This past Sunday, me, Thiz, and our guy JP, part of Chiefs Focus, we were on there, and we commentated about the game, and we were entertaining folks. And please download the app at your local app store on Apple or your Android phone. Just tap in PSFAPP in the search column and just download and look for the Chiefs fan page on that app, and you'll be connected with us. And we're looking for power fans. So I just want to say thank you to my co-host, Thiz, man, and thank you to Chiefs Focus for this opportunity and Chiefs Kingdom. Hey, man, we did it, baby. We went into the bank and we defended the crown back-to-back AFC championships. Now we got one more business trip left, and it's going to Viva Las Vegas, man. So let's do it for
Indeed. And just for that, my name is you, a.k.a. Fizz. That is PMAC. And for War Room 101, we're out. Deuces.